Welcome to Why Did I Keep This? A podcast about the things that have been living in the back of our closets or hiding in storage for way too long. The trend of constantly spring cleaning has forced us to face why we have such a hard time getting rid of things and examine our relationships with material goods. Hi, I'm Courtney Vinaes, an actor, video game streamer, and improviser living in LA with a colorful, quirky, and highly impractical closet. And joining me on the podcast today are Lana Cuthbertson, an entrepreneur living in Montreal who has an impressively strict one-in, one-out policy, and who is working towards a closet full of timeless classics. And also Jackie Glick, a producer living in LA who is an avid window shopper and loves a sample sale. Together, we are the three closeteers on a journey through time and space. Ladies, welcome. Hello, hello.
Hi, Courtney. Hi, Lana.
Hi.
And welcome to you, Courtney. I'm having a disaster of a time getting organized for this episode.
That's okay. Sometimes you have to search the closet for stuff.
I got sweaty. I had to remove my layer. I'm like really kind of hyped though and really excited to be chatting about things and really excited about what we're going to talk about today. So anyway, now that that's off my chest,
how are the two of you? Just doing great. I also am really excited to talk about what we're going to talk about because these are things that have been in my closet that I've been meaning to pull out, that I've been hoping to have time for, that I at one point in my life maybe spent a little too much money on, and definitely maybe that's part of the reason I haven't gotten rid of these things, but also because they bring me a lot of joy. And yes, this week we are talking – I'm going to spoil it. I got too excited. I feel like I'm being vague. I'm going to say what it is. This week we are talking about arts and crafts supplies. Ah!
You know, a little known fact, and actually probably – any of the people that listen to this podcast who are sort of like on the Jackie Glick side of things, like, you know, if this is a wedding, there'd be three sides coming to the table. Most of the people on my side will know that I was the arts and crafts specialist at summer camp. So this is a really exciting day.
Okay,
for
so
me
tell me what a podcast day in the life of an arts and crafts specialist looks like, Jackie.
Every day at this camp, we would go through rotations. There'd be like some, like water skiing, horses, biking, and then there was jewelry, which was mostly beading or Fimo beads, and pottery, which was obviously hand building or on a pottery wheel, and then arts and crafts, which was like anything in between. Sometimes we'd make, melt beads. Sometimes we would make paintings. Sometimes we would do installations.
And was it you
stuff
making the decision what was going to be made that day, or was it just sort of like a free-for-all and you were there to guide anyone's artistic spirit as they saw fit?
I worked with people who would choose pottery day things, and then I work with people who choose arts and crafts day things. Sometimes it would be me, sometimes it would be the people I worked with.
I want to tag back to the melt beads because for some reason, when we thought about talking about arts and crafts, those melt beads were one of the first things that came to mind. And I just want to confirm that everybody has the same image in their mind of like those little trays that you would make a pattern of beads on, like in a star shape or a heart shape or a rainbow or something, and then you would have to heat it up so the plastic all melts together and then creates this like unified
shape. Yes, that's what I had in mind.
Is that right?
Little beads, and then you put a piece of wax paper over them, and then you iron it, and then you peel the wax paper off.
Yeah, the wax paper and the iron. Yes.
My friend during the pandemic, my friend Liz, sent me a whole set of them. And I made like five of them. I made a Mario for my husband, who then put it on the refrigerator because he's really gay.
It's your craft.
So
it's your art and craft, and that's where it belongs.
That I made for him. And then I sent some to my niece and nephew because I thought it was kind of hilarious to send them a, like garbage craft. Not that their crafts that they send to me are garbage, but mine certainly to them is. And should have been done by a child, but was done by their aunt, and I sent it to them. And I don't know what they did with them, but I hope that they at least kept it for 5 minutes.
These are so nostalgic for me. I have like such, for some reason, I associate them with my dad. Like, I think my dad must have been in charge of setting up that craft when we were kids. And I'm thinking about it now and I'm like, what are these useful for? Are they supposed to be coasters?
Only time I've ever used my iron.
Yeah. Totally.
And it certainly was the only time I used it during the pandemic was to make this Mario melt bead thing. But now I have a whole set. I'm not sure. You're right. Like, the point of them is confusing.
You know,
what are they for?
Here's the thing they could be for. So my husband used to work in the video game industry a few years back. And when those little things are finished, they sort of look like pixel art. And I believe he was gifted a bunch of the little melt things to be used as coasters. And they looked, they were like little, I want to say, you know, like you made a Mario. I want to say that they were video game themed coasters that, you know, looked like pixel art. So coasters, there's that.
This set and that like Liz a swag, bought me, like this set that swag. Liz bought me has like recipes. So like I didn't make up Mario, like it is Mario. It's so good. But I didn't like make up the way to do it. Oh my God. I hope everybody heard that on the podcast. That's me opening the kit. Look, it came with like little keychain things. Maybe Lana and Courtney, maybe you guys will get.
I could certainly use any keychain.
Beautiful things.
Going back out into the world, need to accessorize. Fancy.
Mm-hmm. Look, it has like little, it's a very fancy
Oh, those are
set.
Cute.
It has little like what to do
Those
things.
Are lovely.
Beautiful.
Right? And I made, so I sent them, Lizzie sent me this kit, and I made her Mike Wazowski and
adorable
Sully from Monsters, Inc. I made them into keychains. I imagine she uses them every day in real life, but I don't know.
So, Jackie, I'm assuming this is not your why did I keep this because it's so useful and recent and awesome.
No, it is my why did I keep this because I don't know what I'm going to do with it now. You know,
yeah.
Now, I mean, I am threatening to send the two of you some melt-bead things, but.
Well, it's funny because arts and crafts stuff is interesting because you have supplies and then you have the outputs. Yeah. And like, Jackie, you sort of have now the supplies for making more melt-bead stuff and the outputs that are the potential coasters and keychains and mailed gifts. And then they will maybe become someone else's why did I keep this? Like, if I get this in the mail, why am I going to keep it?
Thank you, though, for keeping it forever.
You keep it to
and
decorate
committing to that
front
here.
Of your refrigerator, obviously. Obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the number
obviously,
of...
Obviously.
I do wonder how long the Mario will last on our refrigerator. It made through a
that's
move.
We know that that's impressive. That is that is how we measure how much we care about something.
That's awesome.
Did we move with it?
The fridge Mario.
But this is, I mean, Mario. I loved it when I got it. I laughed out loud. And now I've used it one time. It was a long session. I made about 6 pieces. It was a high productivity for like that hour and a half. And now I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It's a lot of material, and it sits in a closet in a box.
You know, I say you're probably going to have a day. There's going to be like a rainy day or just a sick day or just a day when Jackie needs to hang out, have an activity, you know, zone out for a little bit, maybe listen to a podcast like this one, and – listen to yourself
I'll
talk.
Listen to myself talk.
That's yeah. And just make some stuff. Like that's I love crafts because it's just this like it's just me time. I can't focus on anything else. You're just focusing at the task at hand, but you're also it's not like you're trying to do something like work related. You're just making a little thing. There's a clear end to when the project will be done, when you've finished putting all the beads down and ironing it. And then you're like, cool, I made a thing. You get a nice little satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Maybe you give it to someone. Maybe you keep it around, laugh about it for a bit, and then you throw it in the trash. But at least it gave you that, like, wind down time.
So you're saying that if
no,
I send
you
something,
would,
you
would
throw
it
away.
If you sent it to me, I would proudly display it. Look, I would
keep
right
it
there.
Forever.
This is a spot for it, right there.
This is interesting because, Courtney, it sounds like you are a real craft, arts and crafts
Maybe.
Person.
Maybe.
I'm curious to hear about your thing, but also really curious to hear from the two of you how you feel about arts and crafts. arts and crafts, arts and crafts supply stores. Oh, how do those God. Make you feel?
Heaven.
They can be Heaven. Great. They can be terrible though. Like a, you know, I'm not going to name any stores, but there are some that are just like, even the worst ones are very inspiring.
Spend hours in the pen aisle.
Yes.
Hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like the pens that are like also like art.
Yes. Oh man. There are some. I've been lucky enough that pretty much the last like three places I've lived, I'm very close to like a really good art store. Maybe not necessarily like one of those craft things that you go to get, some, you know, like to, a frame to paint for a Christmas themed, you know, picture that you need. You know what I'm talking about? Like those things that are like real cheap, but like the nice craft stores that have like the individual like oil pastels that you like pick out one by one. Like, oh, mwah. Mm-hmm. Delicious, tasty, overwhelming, overwhelming. Mm. They definitely inspire me to the point that I make, and I, you know, I'm going to jump into my thing. I've got a whole basket of Copic markers, and these are phenomenal. Oh. They're such, yes. Oh, which tip? Because it comes with two. There's two tips. There is,
what?
There's the paintbrush tip.
Two tips.
Where it's. Mm-hmm. And these markers are so good. And then there's like the highlighter tip on the end. It's like a harder angled edge. I call it a highlighter tip, but you know, you don't have to use it to highlight. But these are great. They layer like it's more like a watercolor where they layer really well. You're like they're intended to like smudge into each other and layer on top of each other. There's actually like special paper. You should be using them. I also have my special Copic pen notebook. But yeah, I think I was on a couple of years ago. I was on a real big art kick. I was making zines. I was drawing a lot. I'm just a big doodler. And then I was like, oh, okay, like let me, these pens, they're so nice, I love them. I got like two or three and I was like, they're great. And then I got a bunch more. I probably have like 30 pens total, and they're not cheap, they're like $6 each. I have maybe like, I did illustrate like a little book I made with them, and that's really the only full project I've completed with them. I have a couple of like the special pieces of paper that I have some doodles on, but nothing like serious. I sort of got them and then I was like, and now what? Like, I'm not, when it comes to like art stuff, I'm really not a big, like, I realized I was like, I'm not a big like colorist. I'm not like I like drawing the lines, I like doodling, but then like getting in there and shading it and picking out the right colors. And then I sort of realized like, it's not like paint where, you know, with paint you can make colors real easily. It's a little bit harder with these. So I feel like you have to have like hundreds of them to get the exact like nuance that you want. It's a
good business model.
They're beautiful. I mean, I've seen like, I've also just like seen the work that people do with these, and it's amazing if you are a trained artist and you know how to use them. But they're truly, they're great.
That are makes me really excited. I really want to come.
Oh my God.
Come
that sounds like a wonderful house. Activity. You are welcome because they are still, despite the fact that I've had them for like many, many years, they still work great. And you can, and the other thing that's great about them is you don't replace them. You don't like toss it. You just get a new little, a little like cartridgey guy. And that's not the right word, but just like more ink inside of it. And I've never had to do that.
This one looks like a nice, little orange color.
Does it have a name? Nope. It's just YR04. But I have a whole bunch. I even got like a bunch of like kits. Like this one has like different kind of like in the same family of like purples, like reddish purples, and I have some yellow ones. I also have like a kit of like flesh colored ones, and then everything else I sort of just like picked out because I was like, I like this color and I like this color, not thinking like I'm gonna draw like trees so I should get earthy tones. I was like, oh, that's a ruby red, I love it. So
this kind of reminds me of the trend of adult coloring books that seems to be maybe a little bit waning at this point. But these pens seem much more like they're art supplies. Like it really sounds cool that you can do this color blending and like, I'm now curious to look up, is there a YouTube tutorial for
using these? They're wonderful to watch. They're, it's just like, they're so calming.
I bet they're so calming. to watch yeah. somebody do.
They make it. Like, the thing about artists is markers. They make what they do look really easy. They have like steady hands and yeah. they have like a vision and they have hundreds of thousands of hours of practice under their belt. But yeah, I love these pens yeah. very much. I love having an excuse to like color something in. But yeah, I just have these like this weird number of them and this weird collection of them where I'm like, wow, I don't think I was thinking too hard when I picked out the colors. But man, they are great pens. If you're an artist, you've probably heard of them and you're probably like, girl, what are you doing spending that much money on a bunch of pens you don't know how to use? And that's fine.
I'm into it.
They hold so much potential. Like it's such a symbol of potential.
Oh, that's a big thing for me. Just like holding on to something.
That's a big thing for all art supplies. It's like you might create something really special. Yes, exactly.
Like art supplies are definitely like I definitely get into those like I need to create something right now and it's so therapeutic and then it feels so good to have made something. You're done with it, you made something. But yeah, then sometimes maybe you're stuck with something. And that's the thing that's nice about drawing is the thing that you're stuck with is like a piece of paper. You put it in a folder, you can forget about it. It's not taking up space.
Okay, this is really funny to me because can I
yes, pivot over
to my thing? because it's so the opposite of this conversation. Because, okay, so here's a short explanation. I am not at all an arts and crafts person. I have I'm just not, it's not ever really been my thing at all. So I was thinking about like how to creatively interpret this topic for this episode. And I was like, you know what art I do love is performing art. And I have all kinds of supplies to enable performing art. And I was talking to my partner and I had a few ideas about like what I was going to bring to the table. And he reminded me of a special performance art piece that he and I put together a few years ago. And I will tell you all about it. But first, here is my contribution. It is a triangle, in case nobody recognized that sound. And I was like, this is going to be great for a podcast. And not only do I have a triangle, but I have this little device that I think you could call a kazoo.
That is the fanciest kazoo I've ever seen. Oh my god. That is so silly.
I love and the kazoo.
It's so silly. It's so funny. And for some reason, my partner and I had this idea years ago. So my partner is an improviser. He's a talented improviser like Courtney. And has done all kinds of funny shows. And there was some kind of cabaret show or something at some point. And I'm really into music. I sing in a choir. I love singing and I've always loved music. And so we had this idea that we would do a little skit called Triangle Orchestra. And it was meant to last about 5 minutes. It's just a very silly, odd little skit. But we got up there and Corey, my partner, played the triangle. There it is again. I'm not even a good triangle
player.
You're
just on the spot. You're on the spot.
And I was the conductor of this orchestra and I pretended to conduct an entire orchestra full of instruments. And then I would like cue to Corey to do the triangle piece. And it was just so silly. It was so silly. It was like it started slow. Like I'd be conducting and there's nobody on the stage and there's no music and it's just silence. And then I'd throw to Corey to do like the one triangle piece. So he would just go and like that would be it. And then I'd conduct and then throw back to Corey and then like throw back to him right away. And then he'd get a triangle solo. And that's when we would lose it and we couldn't go any farther. And it was absolutely hilarious. And we haven't done that show in about like 6 years now. And I've still got the show kit in my desk drawer, like right
ready to
here,
go.
Like right where I'm sitting, mm-hmm. where I sit every day, ready to go. And it has the triangle and this kazoo also that we must have incorporated into the show at some point. And we did crack out this kit for a wedding that we emceed a couple years ago and like thought it would be fun to have those as little props. But otherwise, this is just like a show kit stuffed in a drawer, waiting to see the light of day again. And that is not anything that I can create that will be this, like, permanent thing. These instruments don't really hold the same potential as art supplies. The result of them is sort of fleeting. Corey talks about improv way all the time. Like,
I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, there's something so, like, there's something so amazing and also frustrating about doing improv, because you get up on stage and you create this thing with other people and you're flying by the seat of your pants and you are directing and acting and writing this thing. And sometimes it's a hot mess and sometimes it's very funny, and either way it's usually very interesting to watch. But then when it's done, it's done. That's it. You have, like, no record of it. And, like, I don't know if anybody here has improviser friends, but there's a big joke for improvisers where we love to, like, talk about a show, and anybody who wasn't there is just like, okay, yeah, no, I'm sure that was funny. It's like telling someone about your dreams where you're like, okay, that doesn't really make sense, and I don't know why you're telling me this. It just doesn't, like, translate to in other ways. There's no leftover output. There's no leftover melted plastic coasters for you. But the only thing that's left over is a delightful memory.
Exactly.
That's sort of the other thing that I brought to the table today, is I also have pottery tools, but I don't have a pottery wheel or any clay. So I have, like, all of these, like, I mean, seemingly nice tools from my time as pottery specialist.
Do you think you'll ever get a wheel? You're kind of settled into a place for a while. No.
No. In no world will I ever get a kiln and a wheel. Although I would love to take another pottery class. That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Pizza oven.
That's true. I mean, I just touched it, and you guys can't see it, obviously, because you're just listening, but my hands are filthy now.
Disgusting.
Full of charcoal. I also have charcoal in this box. You know, this is a real treasure trove.
How do you feel about getting your hands dirty with art and craft supplies?
Not the best.
Yeah. I was curious, because I'm like, I don't think Jackie likes getting dirty, but I think she loves arts and crafts.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you land on which side?
I mean, decidedly in the middle. It's enjoyable up to a point.
Context matters. You know what I mean? Context matters. Like, if you're throwing some pottery, is that the right terminology? I feel like, you know. Yeah, if you're throwing some clay to make a...
I'm not a professional by any means.
You know, your hands are going to get dirty. Like, you're sitting down for a while, your hands are going to get dirty. But then just having, like touching some charcoal or touching some clay, and you're like, oh, no, my hand's dirty, but I was on my way to do something else that I don't care for that.
Yeah.
I didn't think I had that many, like, art supplies left, because I have moved a bunch, and I remember my last couple of moves, I've sort of been like, I don't need this anymore. Like, when I moved from Berkeley down to Los Angeles, I got rid of, like, all of my knitting stuff. I was like, I have had this since I was in high school. I only know how to make scarves. Anything that's, like, a geometric shape I can make, don't you dare throw another dimension in there. I will not ever knit a sweater. A beanie, even.
But knitting is, like, maybe the only craft that is actually useful.
I kept one crochet hook.
Like, you can knit sweater. You can knit,
but you can also
you can
buy
knit,
one from the internet.
You can knit things that are useful, or, like, seed beads and Fimo. You know, it's unlikely I'm going to make anything nearly as useful as a scarf.
I would say this is a convenient topic for empty hangers knitting. For a number of reasons, but also it's kind of mine too. I had a colleague who was really into knitting and, like, gave me a little starter kit, and I made a little thing. It was really sweet and, like, taught me how to do it, and, you know, the, like, you know, the stitch and bitch kind of, like, groups she was part of, she told me about, and I was always invited, and it was really nice. And I kind of, you know, drifted through that phase for a year or two and then didn't really pick it up again, and eventually, I think, just got rid of that stuff. And I kind of, like, Jackie, like you say, in the back of my mind, it's like, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me as a way to keep your hands busy doing something useful. And it's, like, comforting. And Courtney, what you were describing earlier about crafts, I really loved. It's just like a sort of constant, consistent, like, thing that then you do it. And at the end of it, you have accomplished something, and it's calming and comforting. Yeah. And you know, in another world,
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah, me too. I tried it.
My thing, and my justification also for getting rid of the knitting stuff was that I literally bought all of that yarn when I was in high school. So it was not like good yarn. I bought that with money that I got when I worked at a Cold Stone Creamery for minimum wage. So it was like, all right, these are like the cheapest knitting needles. Like it wasn't like expensive stuff that I couldn't ever replace or it'd be hard to replace. It was like, if I want to start knitting again, I can go to a craft store and pick up some cheap needles. Like these don't, and cheap yarn. But I don't need to bring a whole bucket of them with me to Los Angeles, especially Los Angeles, because I don't wear a whole bunch of scarves here like I did when I was in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a classic. Fair point.
Jackie, do you have an empty hanger?
Do I have an empty hanger? You know, I really would love a fresh box of crayons.
Wax crayons?
Yeah.
Mm.
Amazing.
Like a real good, like one of the big ones, you know? Or do you remember in grade school, you had that box of Laurentian marker pencil crayons and it like flipped up and there were like silver, gold, and a bronze that were so fancy and not everybody had them. But when you had them, you were the coolest kid in class.
Yeah, I didn't have those.
Do you remember those, Courtney?
I was a simple Crayola kid.
Laurentian pencil crayons
it may sound, be Canadian. It sounds Canadian.
As they do reference the Laurentian mountain range in Canada. I'm not sure. Hard to say. We'll never know. But those were some sweet, sweet pencil crayons.
Amazing. Yeah, they were super sweet. And like the Mr. Sketch
scented matters.
Those smell amazing. Mm.
Yeah. Those smells will forever be ingrained in my memory. Like I immediately just like remember. There's like a black licorice one. Oh, love it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The blueberry? I think it's the blueberry.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd smell them and mm-hmm. poke your own nose with the tip of the marker and then you'd
have the like cool nose. Dude in your class would come while you were smelling the marker and hit your hand so that it would touch your nose. That's a real
so bro-y move. What a Chad move. No offense to our listeners named
Chad. I wish I had a use for them. You know, I wish I needed those markers for something.
Yeah.
That's my empty hanger, is like needing the craft supplies for a craft mm-hmm. that I'm doing that weekend, that like I'm really jazzed about making this super cool collage or something. I miss the need for it.
One last thought actually I had before we sign off. Do either of you have like a craft project just on your to-do list that you're like, I'm doing it next weekend. I'm doing it on the next rainy day. I want to get it done by Christmas.
But yeah, not continuous. Not like all the time. Right now, my big thing is sewing. For my birthday last year, I got a sewing machine. I sewed a couple of things. But there's, you know, a sewing machine takes up a lot of space and it requires a lot of planning. So I have a couple things I want to make. I do plan on pulling that out sometime because, you know, I'd like to make a couple little things for myself and get better at that. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's usually okay with those things. It's usually birthday presents. Like I used to always craft people birthday presents. Like one of my friends, I like made a calendar for 1 year, and I like every single like all of the months had a pretty picture with them, and I did everything but like cutting out paper and making little like images, and it was all hand cut and nicely glued together, and that took a long time. But yeah, I'll do that. But I haven't done that for just like myself in a long time. And I don't know why, considering I've been, you know, been stuck at home for a year and a half. You would think I crafted more, but.
Takes a lot of gumption to get out the sewing machine, I feel.
Oh, yeah. 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 I have my grandmother's and my great grandmother's recipe boxes and books.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I've been meaning for a very long time to like transcribe them and photograph them and make like an apple, you know, like you can make an apple photo book.
Yeah.
Make something like that and then give a copy to each of my siblings for sure.
That's so nice.
I know, right? It's a great idea.
My mom had my grandmother's famous in our family honey cake recipe written by my grandmother on a recipe card. And she took that and had it put onto, silk screened onto fabric and then made everybody tea towels with the, my grandmother's recipe on them. And they're so pretty.
Cool.
And sweet. And I use it every year at Rosh Hashanah, which is when we make a honey cake. And I have this very beautiful towel.
Brilliant. Great idea.
It's very sweet. But I love the idea of taking all of them and putting them into a book.
Well, see, maybe it's that I've set a goal, a too lofty a goal.
No, there are, I think so you many. Can do it. It's just to, like, you have to sit down and take a bunch of scans.
You're
that's
right.
The, and like, that's the Everest part of this.
And I have to, I think I have to do a little bit of like choosing. That's the other thing, a little bit of curating.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them are like cutouts from the newspaper, which are maybe not the most important ones.
Unless it's a recipe that they, that your grandmother made.
Yeah, all the time. Exactly.
Do you remember that your grandmother made this like cookie that was maybe had some cornflakes in it?
Yes.
If you can find me that recipe.
Yeah, I totally have that recipe. It's a very traditional gran like cookie. They're yeah, I'll send you the recipe. They're cornflake balls and yeah. They're so
they used to make them at Christmas.
Good, yeah. Cornflakes, coconut, and Macintosh toffee.
Yeah.
And like right. There's butter involved. Yeah. I'll they're so good. I actually made them I hope I don't get arrested for this. I made them for Christmas the year after she died. I think it was the year or the year after that. I made them for the family for Christmas time, and we were spending the Christmas with my mom that year in Mexico, so I like packed them in my suitcase and brought them. And
oh, that's fine. You're allowed to bring food like that.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, you're allowed to bring like food you're about to eat. You're not allowed to like transport vegetables.
Okay. Okay. Then we're fine. Then we're just fine. Everything's
I mean, I don't work at the border, but that's fine, my understanding. Border agents.
I heard a news story this morning about people's Nexus cards being taken away because their friend what? Brought an avocado across the border and now I'm like really nervous.
Yeah. Don't do that. You always have to tell someone when you're bringing food in with your Nexus card. That's real.
Lesson, life noted. Lesson, everybody. Okay, anyway, this is strange. All right,
well, super far this has topic. Been fun. Now, I wonder if I will draw anything. I'm a little nervous because I'm so out of practice, but
I know. Okay. I want you to draw
I
me
will.
A picture.
I will. There won't be any pressure. It will just be a picture of a sea monster. Friends, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to Akshay, our producer. Thank you to Genevieve Vincent for the snazzy composition that you heard at the beginning and you'll hear at the end of this episode. And thank you to you, our listeners. Finally, we'd love to thank the Bolero for being fashion's most practical invention. And you can follow us on Instagram at Why Did I Keep This? And also, I just want to say, we would be so grateful that if you made it all the way to the end of this podcast, if you could leave us a review or subscribe to this podcast, we think that would be really cool. So thank you again. We appreciate you. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.